listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. So we had a chance to sit down with Hall of Famer Dan Fouts. He is going to be on the call for Sunday's game with Ian Eagle for CBS Sports. Does such a great job with that. And I know he's got some good and great insights about this Browns team, and had a chance to talk with him a little bit by phone and give that a listen. Here you go. I'm sorry, Dino, I messed up. You're right. I'm off the script. I'm totally off the script. Mm-hmm. So my producer, Dave DiNatale, our producer, our guy who's got our back. Foul on that one. I messed that up big time. We want to hear from
coming
people.
Coming up in about 216. 9 minutes.
Coming up in about nine minutes. I get a false start. See what's happened? The Arrowhead noise has affected me. I'm thinking about that crowd noise, and I false started on Dan Fouts. I'm so excited to hear from Dan Fouts that I jumped.
I'll tell you what, pre-show, when I was taping for CBSSports.com, right over the indoor practice field where they were practicing today, they were blasting so much noise. Oh, my goodness. It was, I'm in a sound in case room, and I could hear it. It was deafening.
Glass.
Oh, it was deafening. So they're ready to deal with the noise.
My apologies. He will be coming along with us, but not as soon as I had intended. 216-578-0850. So we'll get back with the program. How about Don and Ashland to clean this all up? Hey, Don.
How's it going, Nate Vic?
How you doing?
Hey, not too bad. A nice brisk Friday day over here in Mansfield where I'm working at. Hey, my shot on the game, I'm going to call it 21-17 Browns. And I got kind of 2 points to make on that. I think people are giving Campbell too much crap, I would say. I think people forget that when he was in with the Oakland Raiders, he played a pretty good season until he got hurt. And I think where you're really going to need people to step up, I think Cameron and Devon Best really need to step up in this game with that pass rush from Kansas City, those short passes. I think those are going to be huge for us. And Nate, when you made that comment about Benjamin and how they use Randall Cobb, another team that's really good about using that is Darren Sproles down in New Orleans. They line him up behind Joey Graham all the time, and they create so many mismatches and things like that. And I don't, like you guys, I don't understand why they wouldn't be able to use Benjamin the way that way in our offense.
The one difference is Sproles is able to really run the ball in any of those formations, but I think getting him out and getting him in some type of bunch formation where he's the back man so you know he gets the free release, I think that is something that this coaching staff certainly will explore. You got to remember, too, I wonder how confident they felt opening up the playbook to that extent with Brandon Whedon. And perhaps you would see more of that with Brian Hoyer had he continued, and maybe we'll see more of that with Jason Campbell as he continues, because at some point they have to try to limit the things that they are doing to at least be competent on their core, right. And that wasn't happening with Brandon Whedon.
I think there is more that they can do with the playbook, with the game plan in a game like this with Jason Campbell, because a couple of things. One, his mobility allows you to incorporate some moving pocket plays that I think are particularly effective when you're running against the defense, the 3-4 of the version the Chiefs play with the when you take Holly in Houston and set them out a little bit wider than you normally set out outside linebackers. And you can not only move between them, but you can also do a lot of moving up in the pocket. And I think one of the drawbacks of Whedon's game was not enough of that, not enough of stepping into and stepping up into his throws. That is something Jason Campbell does. It was something Brian Hoyer did too. And I think it's particularly effective with a little over pursuit. And then I think also hit this team with some draw plays. Slow him down with some Willis McGahee on draws. Just let him get something going. Stick with it. Be in screens. Be persistent. Be persistent with some level of a running game. I doubt it's going to be anything phenomenal on the ground, because I don't think the Browns are capable of that. But I think it can be solid enough to help keep him honest. Bob in Strongsville with us now. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys, I love your show as always.
Thank you.
And I love your optimism. However, I'm the realist. And I just think that the Browns this year, for the rest of the year, are just in too much flux. There's too many things that have been happening, too many distractions. I'm predicting 5 wins this year, maybe 6. I do like Jason Campbell. I think that they should have put him in right after Hoyer went down. I would not have gone with Brandon Wheaton. He just, we see what we get. And my only thing is, and I'm going to go to the draft, I just don't see a quarterback coming out college this year that jumps off the, you know, there's no Manning, there's no Luck. I just don't see anybody. And I'm just hoping that Brian Hoyer is a quick healer. Guys, I appreciate you much. Thank you.
And I would say, you know, and while there might not be an RG3 Andrew Luck in this draft, there certainly are a lot of good quarterback options in this draft, and it is the job of this front office to scout and evaluate and find those guys. Let's not forget, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick of the Seattle Seahawks. Now Russell Wilson would be a top-five pick in any draft that he was entering. Colin Kaepernick was a second-round pick of the San Francisco 49ers. There are quarterbacks who can be found later on with excellent scouting, and I believe that this team and this organization has a great group there and will do whatever they can to identify the guys that they want. I do think Marcus Mariota in Oregon has a lot of Colin Kaepernick to him and could be a very exciting and dynamic type of a guy here. It's going to be a matter of where the Browns end up. And, you know, for those people who are worried about the quarterback, if that's what you're already thinking about, 5 wins, you want 5 or 4 or even 3 wins for this team to get the best player available in next year's draft. Now, I think that the Jason Campbell switch, I think, will help steady the ship here. It is going to be very interesting, though, just to see, you know, how things go here and how it shakes out. But it's about scouting, and there every year there isn't going to be a surefire quarterback, but still plenty of good quarterbacks can be drafted and be successful.
Yeah, I want to make sure that the caller understood that I'm not as optimistic as my partner here regarding Sunday's game overall and with regard to... No, I'm not. I'm trying to find
a path to being competitive in the game. I'm not saying they're going to win.
He was saying he loved our optimism, but don't give me credit for that. Give him credit for that. And if the Browns pull out this game somehow, some way, come in here, I will do some cartwheels. Well, I won't do that. But anyway, we'll talk about that on Monday. But as far as the draft goes, I hear what you're saying, the caller, with regard to the concerns you have that you don't see as encouraging a crop from this quarterbacking group as maybe we saw in 2012. 2012 could very easily go down as one of the rarest quarterback crops of all time. And by comparison, you go back to 1983, there's really been one for the ages quarterbacking class, and it was 83, and I covered the league back then and covered one of those guys very closely back then by the name of Jim Kelly, one of the multiple Hall of Famers who came out of that particular draft with John Elway, with Dan Marino. You look at 2012, and Andrew Luck had so many of those qualities that people felt good about and comfortable about, and RG3 was right up there as well, and they both look like they're on their way. We know that, but it's still early to define, but you can feel pretty good about that. This class definitely leaves you wondering on a week-to-week basis, and I think you get some days when a Taj Boyd has a weekend like he did last week, and it almost, I can say it depresses you, but you say to yourself, man, I want to see every week, I want to see 2 or 3 guys at least consistently give that hope, give that feel that you can find them. Now, your points about where you find a Russell Wilson, where you can find those kinds of players, Colin Kaepernick, you don't necessarily have to get them in the first round. I think it is, we know it's going to be a first round pick.
No question.
That's where the Browns are getting this guy. That will elevate the expectation, that will put some of those unreasonable expectations, especially on a team, and that's the unfortunate thing about this player. He's going to be expected to be a miracle worker, because this team likely, when this is all said and done, will be in the same place it's been year after year, needing a miracle turnaround. Who's the Messiah? And I don't know that this draft has, I don't know, any draft gives you a Messiah, but until something's got to dramatically change in a short amount of time between now and the end of the college season for me to feel there's one guy I really want. I don't know who that guy is. I don't point to one guy. Teddy Bridgewater, you mentioned Mariota, we just mentioned Taj Boyd. I don't have that guy. Johnny Manziel, nobody says to me, yep, he can be amazing, and boy, I hope the Browns do everything, move mountains to get him.
And I think that's fair. And if you want to do a little scouting of your own this weekend, obviously UCLA's Brett Hundley and Oregon's Marcus Mariota play at 7 p.m. this Saturday night. So if you want to take a look at two guys
who
plan on watching that, I plan on watching that game as well. I think you're right. I do think with the bevy of picks, with the talent on defense and the money under the cap, that he's not going to need to be a miracle worker akin to an Andrew Luck, because I think he's going to be stepping into a better overall situation with the Cleveland Browns in 2014 than most of those quarterbacks get to step into. And I fully expect them to do a lot to get the weaponry for him, invest a lot in the draft on the offensive side of the ball, and then you have some free agent money to spend as well. So I think that this quarterback won't need to shoulder this burden all by himself. We saw what Brian Hoyer was able to do with the current collection of talent here in just a short period of time, and I don't think anybody would consider, you know, Brian Hoyer to be on the level of an RG3 or an Andrew Luck. So keep an eye on it. Do your scouting. The Browns are doing it, believe me, every single week. They're getting out there and evaluating these quarterbacks. It is priority number one in this building and outside of this building and for everybody associated with the Cleveland Browns. So certainly know that everything is being done to make sure that when they do get their guy, it's their guy and he is successful.
As far as Jason Campbell goes and righting the ship or stabilizing it, that too is something that remains to be seen. It couldn't get worse. Much. That's where we are. Is it can't get worse. And here's the thing about the NFL. Because I had some people ask me, well, then if you have any question about Campbell riding the ship right now, then why the heck didn't they go out and get somebody else? Because there's
no one else
to get. The St. Louis Rams made a call to
Brett Favre.
Brett, 44-year-old Favre.
What about Jeff George? Come on.
That says it all about quarterback need. And look, I look at the people, Les Snead, who was their GM and with the Rams, great guy, great friend, smart guy, knows talent. You know, that's where he looked at when he talked with Jeff Fisher and said, we might as well put in a call to Favre because there's really nothing else going on out here that gives us any hope of feel. I mean, Brady Quinn gets brought in there, for God's sake.
Are you surprised Vince Young hasn't gotten his phone hasn't rang
at
really,
all? Not really, not really. And I've talked with some folks in the league about him, and there's just a feel that it's whatever he had is gone. That whatever he had that was good, people who have seen him in workouts, and I guess his time, that brief experience in Buffalo, did him no favors. Just in no comprehension of what was going on with the offense, no ability to show that on the field, and whatever the disconnect is, it was pronounced then. I think early on, the Vince Young today versus the Vince Young, the rookie, is not the same athlete.
Sure.
Is not that same dynamic player. So, yeah. Nathan, he could overcome a lot of whatever was lacking above the shoulder pads. He could overcome it with what was below the shoulder pads. And now what's below the shoulder pads is more ordinary. So that's the book on him.
Well said.
Thank you. Dan Fouts, Hall of Fame quarterback, and on CBS Sports' coverage of Sunday's game between the Browns and the Chiefs. Now we'll get to that. Dave DiNatale's mad at me because he threw the flag.
He did. He gave me a buzzer.
He gave me a buzzer. Now he's applauding me.
He loves you.
Build me up, Dave, because I'm hurt over that. So that's coming. That's coming up next.
You sound like you need a hug.
I really do, buddy.
It's all
Jeez.
Good.
Come on. All right, so that'll be coming up, and your calls, more of Call Your Shot Friday, 216-578-0850. Vic Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR.